You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara and I'm here with my brother and co-host Devin.
Hello.
Hello, hello Devin. Got some high speed internet, some new action going on here for the Art of Craftsmanship podcast.
Live from the new studio.
Live from the echoey new studio. We are the Art of Craftsmanship. All right. What do you got from us? For us.
You will come to a place where the streets are not marked. Some windows are lighted, but mostly they're darked. A place you could sprain both your elbow and chin. How dare you to stay out? Do you dare to go in? How much can you lose? How much can you win? You won't lag behind because you'll have the speed. You'll pass the whole gang and you'll soon take the lead. Wherever you fly, you'll be the best of the best. Wherever you go, you will top all the rest. Except when you don't, because sometimes you won't. So, be your name Buckspam or Bigsby or Bray or Mordecai, Allie, Van, Alan, O'Shea. You're off to great places. Today's your day. Your mountain is waiting, so get on your way. Oh, the places you'll go.
Funny, I don't think I've actually ever heard. Well, I've heard that before, but not recent enough to have realized it was Dr. Seuss until like the last couple lines. And I was like, as soon as you did the like Buck Spear or something or Mickey O'Shea, I was like, oh wait, that's nice.
So I was thinking like new beginnings quote for all the moving you've been doing.
Right.
And I was like, that is a classic. I mean, they read that to us in like fifth grade. I remember with the fifth grade graduation, they had like, remember the projector with the clear, what do you call them?
The overhead or opaque projector.
Yeah. And you would have the
overhead projector. I remember,
you know, they put the pages down one at a time.
Transparencies. Yeah, right.
So I thought that was a classic, inspirational, oh, the places you'll go.
Nice.
Or the places you are now. Have moved to and you are
there. Oh, the places we'll go. So yeah, we're in the new house. We moved in officially on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Today is Thursday, so this will be our fifth night. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. This will be our sixth night tonight here. So Saturday was the big move day. We pretty much got the majority of almost everything from our living quarters of our house into the new house on Saturday. Yeah. And then on Sunday, it was like one more run or like a couple vehicles worth of kind of stuff that was kind of moving detritus, you know, from the first day. Like the closet things and the random things that like you can't move right away, but still have to move. And then you unearth stuff and then move new, more stuff. So that was like one run. It was kind of, I guess, one run on Sunday. Yeah, man, it was a busy weekend and, you know, thank you for helping. You were there, Saturday afternoon for a run and then Sunday.
Yeah, man.
All day. I appreciate it.
Gotta be done.
It's got to be done. Yeah. And those of you who follow along the Art of Craftsmanship, you might have seen my stories, just kind of showing the different stages. We are capturing all of that stuff as well on video and time lapse and stuff. So we'll have plenty of content for the move, which I think is just kind of, it's more fun to me than sad. Like there's definitely some like more of the, nostalgia, I guess, you know, like, oh, thinking back the stuff we made in that shop and the years of fine tuning it to do what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, you know, that there's a little bit of like, man, that was, you know, that was a shop that was really well tuned, you know, to do what I wanted to do. And so I'll have to redo that whole system in the new shop, mm-hmm. which is fun and also kind of daunting and mm-hmm. a little like, okay, well, I really liked having the low, you know, like the floorboards above my head, because I was able to put a bunch of stuff there and have that like first order retrieval, like clamps and, you know, lights and all sorts of, you know, that type of stuff. So
right,
there'll be a little bit of moving pains, you know, like trying to figure out new ways to solve similar problems. But yeah, so I went back Monday and did a full truckload from the shop, and then I went back Tuesday and did a full truckload. So, and now I didn't actually take down the wood rack in the basement. I may go back and get it. I'm not sure. You know, it's just like it's a chore just going back and taking everything apart, you know, but it saves me the cost of buying new wood. So, you know, we'll see. Maybe sometime this weekend, maybe I'll run over there and disassemble it and move it over. But yeah, I mean, down in the basement, what's left is just the wood rack and that first bench that's there with the pegboard behind it. And I thought about kind of taking that apart, because that was like something I installed, the shelf up top and the pegboard and stuff. But, you know, that stuff's not that expensive. Yeah. And I'm excited to build a new kind of main backdrop table, you know, because that's what that was. It was always the table that was behind me. And I love that setup of having like a work, you know, having this kind of,
but you could do a more heavy duty one that doesn't shake.
Yeah.
Maybe,
yeah,
absolutely. Maybe a little cooler, bigger, thicker wood, you know.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. With lots of like supports for, you know, something doesn't shake and it's also secured to the wall, you know, the joists or whatever that are on the wall that are inside of the shop. So, yeah, the shop right now is 18 by 20 feet of completely jam packed clutter. I
know. So it looks like a normal person's cluttered, garage, unusable garage.
Right.
Before we go on, I'm going to try something. Mm-hmm. Now, I always tell people, or I don't always tell people, if you listen, I always have a backdrop of a town or something that I can look at. So I want to send you something I just found us.
I did have that thought as I was sitting here getting ready to set up. And at first there was, like, I'd moved a lot of the boxes out of the studio this evening to like make room to move the stuff around.
Yeah.
And it was very open here. And if you, I know you can hear and people can hear la, 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 la. Very echoey in this room right now, but I did move a bunch of boxes back into the room just to like add something in here. So there's
it sounds fine.
Yeah, so I'm like surrounded by a few boxes.
But, so I sent you a link. I just hit the mother load looking for images.
Oh man,
it's Architectural Digest. So what you want to do? 20 most
beautiful cities in the world.
So go on there on your laptop.
Mm-hmm.
And scroll down, and you'll see all the main images. And they say, you know, like Singapore, Paris, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Find one that's really visually interesting to you, obviously.
Uh-huh. Okay.
With a lot of things, a lot of time, a lot of buildings, sharpened focus, maybe some people, you know, that type of stuff. Multiple layers. Mm-hmm. Find a city, and then, you know, right click, open image in new tab. And then you can zoom in on and kind of, I spread it out, and then I put I make the AOC podcast window as small as I can and put that in the top corner.
Open image, new tab.
So pick one.
Okay.
Yeah, image a new tab. You'll see if it's like nice and sharp, but I just found this, you know, this site. It just, all these images are really like big. They're like 3000 by 3000 pixels.
Nice.
So, yeah, there you go. Something different, and you can pull something up nice.
Okay.
I think I'll start on the, you know, I like this Estonia one.
I'm looking at the Au Paris right now.
Au Paris.
Reminds me of an Antonio Lopez Garcia painting. He's a,
there you go.
A painter out of Madrid, and he just painted like city scenes like this from up high. And like fully, you know, full detail. It's crazy. All painted from life, like all right. Setting up on top of buildings.
So new beginnings. You know, you can have a little nice background until you make your space really interesting.
Oh, well, nice. I like that. That's pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Pretty good. Okay, so you moved from the country where we all know to. It's not the city. It's definitely county life, but it's on a main street.
Yeah, it's a town. So we're right in historic Reisterstown now. Mm-hmm. But on a main street, and you know, you guys may hear cars going by, Mr. City Life over here. But it's a great house, and I know we talked about it on the podcast a couple weeks ago. Because it was like we had just come and seen it that day. I think that we talked about it, but it's, you know, it's a what they call a craftsman four square. So, you know, living room, dining room, kitchen, foyer on the first floor in a square, like four rooms, and then second floor is the studio. It's three bedrooms and a bathroom, right? And again, four kind of rooms in a square. Mm-hmm. But studio, master bedroom, and then a second bedroom, and then the bathroom. And then we have a full walk-up attic, which is really nice, which is in here through the studio. So walk upstairs to the attic, and it's just like a four, you know, an even four peak or whatever, like a peak from four directions. So there's a center peak in the middle. So standing room in the middle upstairs, and, you know, it slopes out, but perfect for extra storage and anything that can go up into the heat. And we're going to try to insulate it a little bit better and do a little bit of climate control up there. So we can, you know, store more stuff up there and use it as the kind of overflow for the studio. Because really, like, the things that we store a lot of are our hobbies, you know? So it's like all the supplies, all the art supplies, all the craft supplies, all the fabric and sewing and stuff and knitting supplies and costume supplies. And then obviously the shop is all the hobby making supplies. Although the leather working stuff is going down the basement. And some of the art storage and stuff will be down in the basement. So we have a full walk down basement as well. That's the full size of the house, which I think is like 27 by 25, something like that. So yeah. And then the out back is the creme de la creme, the detached 2-car garage, 18 by 20 workshop. And right now it's, I put up some temporary fencing going out the back steps and then kind of diagonally to the door of the, to the shop, and then along the side of the property and to the end of the shop. So there's like just a little fencing area next to the shop and, you know, right out back for the dogs. So we can let them out and they can, you know, let them out to pee or whatnot. If instead of having to walk them every single time they need to go out.
Right.
Cause you know, that's no good. We got too used to just open the door and let the dogs out, you know? So, you know, keep that habit. So yeah, so we fence that in for now, just to give them a little bit of room to go out and pee, and then we like walk them back into the property on leash and stuff. Okay, you know, once a day or so. But the shop. I made one thing in the shop so far. I had to the cabinets and the exhaust hood above our stove were like falling down, like they weren't attached to the wall well. And so we're not going to keep them that long. We're getting a new stove and we're going to put in a new hood and stuff. We're going to move it out into the main kitchen because right now it's kind of in this little extra area that's kind of a pantry, like a butler's pantry, which is what we're going to convert it more to, because now the stove's in there and the refrigerator. We're going to take the stove out. We're actually going to leave the refrigerator in there and then have the shelving and stuff all around the refrigerator and then the pantry. So it'll be the pantry and the fridge in there, and then the stove will be on that opposite side in the kitchen, and then we'll have just counter space and then cabinets and stuff up top. So so I had to kind of prop up the left side of that, those cabinets and that hood above the stove. And so there's a little space on the left. So I just went out and found some random bits of wood that were about the right size and went into the shop and found like one little trash can full of hand saws that was like, you know, just on the outside, like packed to the outside, grabbed that and kind of perched the two pieces of wood over it and sawed them to the same, you know, length and put it back and walked out of shop. I'm like, there you go. First thing made in the shop, just like cutting two pieces of wood down to 56 and a half inches to prop up the edge of the falling down cabinetry.
So, how does it feel?
How does it feel? I think right now it's like overwhelming, just all the stuff, you know, because we haven't really had any time to like, you know, really spend time settling in. Cause it's, you know, two full days of moving and, you know, packing and moving, you know, Saturday and Sunday, and then Monday right back to work, you know? So I was like, get up, go to work, come home, you know, do a few things, have dinner. And then, like, you know, like, just a couple hours, just not enough time to, right. To really, like, make it, you know, like, settle in. So, I mean, it feels fine. You know, like, it feels like I live here now. You know, like, you know, I've been here, like, I'm starting to, like, remember which light switches go to which. You know, that's one of those things. Like once you understand that, it's like, oh, okay. I know if I reach over here to this like three light switch panel, this one is the front porch and this one is the foyer and this one is the kitchen. You know, it's like, so I'm starting to remember that. I was like, okay, well that's kind of good. And getting in a little bit of a routine of waking up in the morning, going down, getting the dogs, you know, I just put the fence up. See yesterday, maybe just yesterday. Yeah, I think I got home and, cause yeah, Monday and Tuesday I had spent the, you know, after work went directly back to the old house and loaded up the truck and then came home and unloaded it. And then by the time that's done, you know, and then what, Tuesday night it was raining. So I was unloading the truck in the rain and I was like, we did spend a little bit of time kind of rearranging and setting up the living room and also the dining room. So like, so there's still a bunch of boxes and stuff in there, but like the dining room table is set up and the chairs are around it and the corner cabinet's in the corner and there's some stuff in it, you know, and like in the living room, the couch is kind of where it will be. And I hooked the TV up and, got that all like plugged in and ready to go. And, you know, and then last night we also moved some stuff around and got like our two living room chairs where they are and what corners, you know? So it's like, it's starting to get there. But we haven't had like enough time to really like get through a room. And like tonight was come home, you know, talk to Nicole about whatever has been running through her brain all day, you know, which is all like house stuff. She's like, all right, I gotta tell you. She's like, this and this and this, and I want to buy this and I want to do this. And she goes to the list, and then I'm like, all right, I need to work on the shop. I mean, work on the studio so I could actually record in here because it was like jam packed full of books. So.
Right.
We came up and moved a bunch of stuff up into the attic and rearranged things and put some stuff away and took some stuff down to the basement. And then, you know, so now I have the table and the stuff set up to be able to record near. So
it is so nice when you finally finish a room.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of time. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
You think like, oh, we're done moving, but it's like, well, now we have to really get down to the work to make each room feel like a room.
Right.
It just takes time.
Yeah, exactly. And like, you know, there's also stuff like we spent like almost $2,500 like fixing a leaky pipe that was, you know, we knew it was leaking and it was one of the things that was like on the list of like, this is going to have to be fixed as soon as we get the house. But you know, with when we put in the offer and it was like conditional based off certain amounts and you know? So once the inspector did, I think we had like a, you know, it was like $5,000 or something. Like anything less than $5,000, you know, we wouldn't back out of the contract, you know? Mm-hmm. So, we had the plumber come in on Tuesday and, he came and kind of assessed a few different things. So we had the main black water, you know, out, right? So the main sewer out. So sinks and showers and toilets, the main like cast pipe going out of our house comes down into the basement and then does like a you know, 90-degree turn and then goes out. Mm-hmm. At that turn, there was, you know, that's like an old piece of cast iron. So it was leaking. It wasn't like pouring out, but it was dripping, you know. So anytime we ran anything, wash, any sink, any toilet, anything, it just dripped down the basement. So he came in, and of course, like, you know, it wasn't just like that joint that he had to replace. He also had to do the one above it. And then there was like corrosion and all the ones above that. So it, like, you know, ended up taking him. He came back on Wednesday. Nicole, she was able to work from home on Tuesday and Wednesday. So, he came back and did everything on Wednesday. So now we can take showers and we can use the sink and wash everything. And
$2,500 later.
Yeah, right. Exactly. But that's okay. You know, it's like in this situation that we were in, you know, we had some backup money to be able to do these things. Like, we know, like, right away, we're going to have to spend upwards of, I don't know, you know, maybe we weren't thinking that plumbing was going to cost $2,500, but, you know, we're kind of ready to spend about $5,000 or so, like, right off the bat on a bunch of stuff, you know, like, this stuff has to be done. And so, you know, we have to do some wiring and move some stuff around. We actually, the plumber also does the gas, and we want to move the gas stove and range from the, like I said, from that little bump out extra area back into the kitchen. And so he looked into that, and he was like, well, it's, you know, it's not a very hard job. It's just a job that takes permitting and, you know, like, approvals and stuff. And that's where it can be costly. So he did look up, he got back to Nicole on like a cost, and he was like, well, it'll either be a, you know, like, he's like, I'm not sure, it'll either won't be any permits and then it'll be cheap, or it will be a bunch of permits and it won't be cheap, you know? So fortunately it was like, there are some permits needed, but it wasn't the most expensive version of everything. So there's like, it's like a basic thing. So it's going to be maybe $1,500 just to reroute the gas line from 10 feet over there to 10 feet over here, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's even like just shortening it, because you're going from the gas comes in the front of the house, and the stove is directly like across the house in the back of the house. And where we want to put it is about 10 feet closer to where it's coming from. So it's not even like running new lines. It's just, I mean, shortening 10 feet and then going, turning and coming up through the basement into the kitchen, you know? So I was like, well, that should be easy. Like, it's the, all you're doing is shortening and you're trying to put it in a bend and taking it up, but it's not, you know, but when it comes to gas in your house, like, I'm like, okay, yeah, whatever. Yeah. But that's how I get you, you know? Like, well, it's a gas line, so you don't want your house to explode, so right. We can charge you whatever the fuck we want. Right. And you're just going to have to suck it up, bend over, and take it up the tailpipe. Yeah, so.
I mean, so you could reach out to another guy, Dust.
No, we are, yeah. Nicole's, she's...
I did that for the well pump.
Right.
Mm-hmm. One company wanted to do it for $3,500, and the other company did it, I forget what it was, but, you know, right. It was under $1,000.
Oh, dang.
So one person was trying to charge me three times more.
Yeah, right. No, yeah, so the newer thing is that there's this, like, vintage gas stove that Nicole wants to get. It's really pretty. Mm-hmm. And it's like this big white old stove, and, mm-hmm. you know, it's gas, and mm-hmm. it's got two ovens, and but it's like going to be wider, so it's 40 inches rather than 30 inches, and it's got like these two ovens that are side by side, but they're both smaller than a normal oven.
Yeah, so those those are small.
Yeah, so
it doesn't make it efficient either. It's an old,
right. It's like, right.
It's going to be more expensive to run it, probably.
Mm-hmm. So, hey, yeah, that's the thing.
Like, you know, you deal with your own wife. Go ahead.
Exactly.
Godspeed, my friend.
I know. I'm like, okay. Like, I was trying to dissuade her, but she's like, but I'm in love with it. It's so pretty. I'm like, okay. So it's pretty.
Like, it's a tool, though. It's,
yeah, right. Like,
we need this tool to pretty, work well.
But it's also, like, yeah, taking up more counter space and smaller ovens, and it's old, so it might not work great. And
right.
And, like,
something could go wrong with it, and then you got to repair something else, and then.
Yeah, right. So, we'll see.
Good luck with all that.
Thanks.
Jerry Seinfeld would say.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, ideally, fingers crossed, it's going to be nice, yeah. But we'll see. Fortunately, like, we can get another. So the gas stove that we have, which is in the house, which came with the house, is like a relatively new gas stove. But it's black, and so it doesn't go with the aesthetic of the house because it's an older house. So that's, I think, Nicole's main concern. I'm like, well, let's get a white stove. She's like, yeah, but then it looks plasticky and cheap. I'm like,
ugh. I mean, you can get okay. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. So you know, I mean, I can understand where she's coming from. Like, it is beautiful, and as long as it works well, then that's great. You know,
even a lot of, I mean, all the nicest homes in the world have modern appliances for a reason. Mm-hmm. You can get beautiful modern appliances. I mean, you know, there's stainless steel and that type of stuff, but it does work with the look. Because people want a really nice fridge and they want a really nice stove.
Right.
And the vintage ones just don't work as well.
Right. Yeah, So we're, you know, the person who has it is like down near DC, this woman that Nicole's been talking to, and so it's like, it's $500, so it's not, you know, crazy expensive. And the one that we have new is like $850 or something. So, you know, we can sell the one we have to mitigate the cost, right? So like, but that's, you know, saying again that like, yeah, what we have is gonna last, and then the new one is gonna work right, and you know, and the woman said yes. And Nicole's like, does it work right? Like, everything works and cooks and the oven keeps temperature, and the woman said yes. So like
sure.
Yeah, right. So I don't know. I'm like, yeah, I'm concerned, but I also, you know, want Nicole to be happy and don't wanna. Yeah, I don't know. She understands. She can tell that I'm not like in love with the idea.
Right.
So,
we'll see. Well, you know, maybe it's one of those things that it's just, you go, okay, you know, you let your feelings known.
Yeah. Right.
I don't know if it'll work, and I you know, I'm not sure but then it's just, yeah, then it's, but okay, if you really want it, like, we'll do it. And then, but when it comes down to it, if it's not working well, and it's a real big hassle, then we'll have to, like... Then it's then like, okay, well, I let you try, but come on.
Right. So then we're out, you know, however, whatever. Yeah. So, like, then you know,
then you sell that again for...
maybe somebody else for the same price.
You pass the curse along.
If it works great. Does it work? Yes.
If someone accepts it, they are now cursed with
them. Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah.
With the non-temperature keeping gas stove. And they must give it to another new homeowner who thinks it's like, pretty. And the curse is in your house now.
Yeah, we'll see. Hopefully it all is fine. But you know, like we talked about before, it's like, you know, you and I were talking about the attic, you know, like, oh, it'd be really cool to put, you know, a bunch of fabric up there and cool seats and make it like a fun, you know, kind of, you know, crafty, gypsy, like, you know, attic space. Yeah. And we're like, why not? You know, like, why not do something fun? We're adults, you know, you can make it. It doesn't have to be just like, you know, practical. Like, why not have some fun? And so that's kind of the thing too. It's like, okay, well, yeah, it costs us some money, but we'll see. You know, hopefully it's worth it. You know,
it is. It's a fun, interesting. Yeah, those stoves are cool looking.
Yeah, right.
But there's a reason why, like, you don't see them anymore.
Right.
They're just not in any homes.
Yeah.
Even the vintage homes, even people like farm style, blah blah blah. All these shows, you never see those stoves.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And the people that want to hide, you know, like stoves, they put like facades on them. You know, they put the wooden fronts or something, you know, like they hide it that way. They put in a brand new equipment that's gonna work perfectly.
Right.
But they make it look older, you know, so.
And I will say though, if you wanted to get a real nice gas stove, then it is way more expensive. Right, obviously, it's like whatever, $2,000 or $3,000 to get one of those really fancy chef looking gas stoves. Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it is on the cheap end, but
right. And it was, I think they had it originally marked up, and who knows, like, you know, maybe they marked it up and they marked it down so you can see both things. But like, I think it was originally they had a mark for $1,200 and then they had lowered the price to $500. So, but they're working on getting permitting for something new in their house. And so they basically can hang on to it for us for like up to 6 weeks. And so since we need time, we'd have to put in a new hood, and then get the kitchen prepped for it. So we're it's going to take a little bit of time for us to prep for it. So
reinforce the flooring under it.
Yeah, right. But yeah, so Nicole, that was another thing. She was like, yeah, well, they said they'd hold it for us, but they would hold it for like, you know, half the price, you know, for $250. And basically it's a down payment. They'll hold on to it for us. I was like, well, I don't know about that either. But, you know, they're like, okay, yeah, we'll hold it. And then all of a sudden like, oh, sold it. And we took your $250 and ghost you, you know?
Right.
Dude. So I figured, I was like, well, what we'll do is like, you know, maybe we can send them a check or something. Right. That way, if they cash it, it's on the check written on there, like $250 deposit for this, you know, will hold blah, blah, blah. You know, something that like, if they cash it or if they take our money, that we have a guarantee that they're not going to then sell it underneath of us. So,
right. Or you could like postmark it to a later date.
Right. Well, that's the thing. Like there were like, the woman said at first, she was like, yeah, it was like, we can hold it. You know, if you buy it, we'll just hold it for you. And Nicole was like, well, you know, like, I don't know. And so she was like, well, Nicole's like, well, you know, there have been stories and I've had some bad things on Facebook Marketplace. So then the woman was like, okay, well, you know, if you're willing to do a, you know, half the down payment or something, then we'll hold it for you. So they agreed on that. So we'll see.
Hey, good
but,
luck.
But, you know, a good turn to this is that, so Nicole, you know, like, that some of the reason like we're doing this other stuff when we have some more money is because we're anticipating some other money coming in being Nicole's new job, because she applied for a new job as a librarian, like a archive librarian at Maryland Institute College of Art. And so she did her big interview last week. So on Tuesday, while we were, not this past Tuesday, but the previous Tuesday, you know, in the midst of us packing like mad crazy people, she went and had to do her a job interview. Yeah, so she had to do an hour-long presentation, and then she had to meet with the hiring committee and answer five or six, seven questions or whatever, and then lunch with the director, and then a tour of the school, and then this like hour-long presentation. And and then they reached back out to her on Friday to ask her for her references, which is a good sign, because Kate, a friend of ours who works at MICA, you know, she said like for her, anytime they're hiring people, they don't ever, she said she never asks for recommendations unless she's basically like narrowed the list down to, you know, like, you're the person I want, so now I want to check your references to make sure, you know, because if you're like asking people for their references and then you don't hire them, like, you know, that's kind of messed up. So and actually Kate was one of Nicole's references, and so we had heard over the weekend that the woman who was on the hiring committee like had reached out to Kate about having an interview with her on Monday, and Nicole texted me on Monday probably at about 11:30 or noon that she was offered the job.
So
very, very happy, super excited. She went back to school.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I guess about, like, I guess just right about 2 years ago, she went back and got her master's in library science from University of Maryland. And so has been, like, actively trying to find a job since she finished, which was, you know, for the last, like, 8 or 10 months, you know. Yeah. And she had a couple internships and stuff and just, like, had and gotten really close for a bunch of jobs and applied, you know, for a bunch of things and gone to, like, you know, first interviews and second interviews and third interviews and in-person interviews and just, you know, kept getting turned down. But she was unofficially offered the position, which meaning like the woman who was the main hiring person called her and said, like, hey, we want to offer you the position. Like, this technically is not the official letter of offer. That'll come from our HR department, but you're the person we're hiring. So
that's great. That's awesome.
So yeah. So super, super excited.
And like, that'll be spend all the money now.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. So that'll be a, yeah, that's a boost for our pay, which is really nice. So
yeah,
really nice. So yeah. So it's been very, very, very like positive and, you know, kind of heartwarming last couple weeks of, you know, being unsure about where we were going to live to getting, you know, being able to put an offer on the house and accepting the offer and then, you know, being going crazy packing and having Nicole having to do all this prep for this interview and then, you know, moving in and then finding out she got the job. So it's like a lot of really good stuff happening. So
yeah, that's great.
Good stuff. Yeah. So then, so now the new shop, right? So like, so we're here, so I'm excited to be able to, like, do stuff. And actually, not this upcoming week, but the following week, I have spring break. So I'll be home all week. So the weekend plus the week and then the following weekend and the Monday. So I actually have 11 days off in a row. So, I don't know, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 days off. Yeah.
Nice.
So yeah, so really nice. So I'll be, you know, doing all the fencing stuff, and we talked about that. But we pulled all the fence. We got all the free fence from a guy, you know, close by our old place, and so I will need to request the services of your father-in-law's auger.
Yeah.
So that'll be not this weekend, but next week, starting next weekend. Yeah, but, you know, putting in fencing and then once the fencing's in, then I'll have some space around the shop. And so I can, like, I need to temporarily or something move some stuff out of the shop. You know, I need to, like, get something out so that way it can be, I can actually get inside. And so, you know, my buddy Sean suggested, like, maybe building the smithy first, you know, instead of trying to, like, get into the shop right away and organize it. Like, once you build the smithy first, that way all the stuff that's in the shop that normally would have been in the smithy can now be out. But as much as I would like to do that, I also think as far as, like, time go or money and time, like, I think it makes more sense to try to just work, like, pulling things out and reorganizing and hanging things and getting things, like, up and around the shop as much as possible.
Right.
And then, you know, that'll give me some space to kind of just organize and start to create, you know, an infrastructure inside the shop that makes sense for storage and for usage.
I mean, you know, I guess you could do a temporary Quonset hut deal.
Yeah. Yeah. And we have the shed, the Quonset hut shed that was over top of the boat on my property. Or on the, you know, the property we were before. So I could grab that. Yeah, take it. It's all the pipes right now. And the, you know, it's like, it was like $100 or something or $150 right.
Even do another one, just brand new.
Right. Yeah, and they sell the covers, you know, and like the metal framing and stuff was still perfectly fine. So you can buy the covers for half the cost or something.
So you can put your stuff out there.
Yeah, and that can like zipper and close. So like, you know, if someone really wanted to obviously come and steal a bunch of stuff, they could, but they'd have to move a lot of really heavy stuff and cut open or whatever, you know. Like, I'm not super worried about that.
Yeah, I mean, you get...
not yet, but...
You have to get some type of, you know, work on, like, Simply Safe or something. Some cameras you know. Now, I will say, as against Ring cams as I am in life, a place like Main Street, it's, it might be worth it.
Yeah, no, I agree.
You just see who's poking around, because everyone's close together, and people are walking, and there's a high school nearby, and there's just people walking around all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Corinne walked home for the first time, or actually she walked home yesterday for the first time, so yesterday and today, but yesterday Nicole was home from work, so she actually walked down to Franklin and then walked back up with her just to, like, you know, it was a nice day and she wanted to kind of experience it with her, so now Corinne, today was her first day walking home all by herself, coming home with having to use her own key to get in the house and, you know, unlock stuff and all, so, but that's another thing that's really nice, you know, like she's... Where she gets dropped off now is close enough that she can just walk directly home. So,
nice.
It's a nice benefit. But
stop and get some ice cream at the Cow.
Yeah, right. Exactly. She did. She had off on Monday. Corinne had off on Monday, so she did walk up there during the day and went and got herself some ice cream.
Nice.
They're pretty cool. Yeah. But yeah, you know, like being in being on Main Street as opposed to being in the middle of the country, you know, it's a different feeling. And But you know, we've got a decent sized backyard, and the two houses on either side of us are both commercial, so it's not like we have, you know, direct neighbors. So it feels pretty private, you know, in the back, and once we get the fencing and stuff in, it'll be nice and, you know, cleaned up the yard a little bit so we can actually go, you know, we'll put in a little patio and stuff out back and some fences and
you know, Main Street, but then when you go back, there's woods back there, so it's kind of, I mean, you put a fire pit or something back there, and if you have people over and you're hanging out, it feels like, you know, you're kind of in the county, you're in, like, it's nice.
Yeah, yep, yeah, because it's just, it's a 30-mile-an-hour road, and it's just two lanes, you know, so it's just, it just feels like any town, USA. It is cool, though, because it's historic Reisterstown, so there's some really beautiful old houses and buildings and stuff, and, you know, obviously some newer stuff, too, because it's a mix of commercial and residential, but it's a nice mix. It feels safe, and it feels, like, active, but not, you know, super busy. It just feels like a main street, you know? It's like you're living in town. And that's okay. You know, it's all right. You know, it may not be our forever home, but... It'll work for a while, and we really like it. Really happy with it so far, and
yeah, something different.
Yeah, yeah, man. Yeah, it's good stuff.
I mean, it's safer than where we lived when we lived together in the city.
So it definitely is. Yeah,
and we walked around plenty there and did stuff. And
yeah. And probably, you know, probably safer than like Chadford Court, you know, like where we were when we were kids, you know. So. You know, we've kind of gone back and forth, and, you know, ideally, like, I love being out in the country, I love having property, and, you know, I love the quiet and the, you know, the woods and stuff, but I also, you know, I really enjoy the convenience of this, and the, like, the neighborhood feel, you know, and the walk down the street to the ice cream, walk down the street to a little coffee shop, or, you know, walk to the snowball stand, or drive 4 minutes down the road to the grocery store, or the hardware store, you know, it's like... The conveniences are nice, too. You know, I don't mind it. Yeah,
I saw there's that one restaurant near, you don't have to name names, but there's that one restaurant, it seemed like it closed. So it's like, of course, when you move in. And then, so maybe there's some restaurants nearby. That'd be cool, too. You get to, you know, walk to a pub or a bar, that type of thing. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, no, that restaurant, actually, that had been there for a really long time, and it got shut down for, like, tax fraud.
Oh,
yeah, I know. Apparently, the owner was doing some shady stuff for a long time, but it was, like, it's a very well-known and well-liked establishment, so I wouldn't be shocked if someone else came in and, like, bought it and, you know, ran it on the up and up.
Yeah, it would be cool to have a place where you go get a bite to eat, or even, like, a beer. You know, go sit at the bar and have a beer, too, and, like, you know, it's like...
It's, yeah, yeah. Kind of, I know, that's one of the things. It was, like, the, you know, that's what I would do occasionally with not having, you know, cable or whatever, not necessarily wanting to pay for full internet at our previous house and all. So, I, you know, during like football games and stuff, if I just felt like, you know, cause I had Sean right down the road. So, you know, cause sometimes like I would go there and watch games with him, but you know, if it was like a Thursday night or something or a late night for some reason, you know, a football game and I wanted to watch or just some, you know, like I went and watched, the girls championship basketball game last year, you know, and there were some things where I would just like ride into town and go to like the Green Turtle or whatever. Cause it's just nice sometimes to sit at a bar and have a beer or two, maybe some French fries or whatever, and
you know,
get some food and watch a sporting event with a bunch of people there that are also into it, you know, cheering
now,
on.
Now
stuff,
you can walk there and or you got a nice little e-bike.
Yeah.
Zip down the road.
But yeah, you know, I like the atmosphere of the town. It's, you know, it's a nice space, and it feels good and feels safe, which I like for obviously for myself, but for my family and for Corinne and, you know, and our belongings and stuff in our house. So
yeah, man,
it's good. There are a few annoying things. The building right to our north has a, like a heating and AC system out back that is very squeaky. Yeah. So it's like at night, I'm like, oh, so annoying.
Mm.
So, that is something we'll have to deal with, and maybe like we can talk to them about it. I'm not sure, but, yeah, but we met the neighbor, who owns the commercial space two doors up from us, Frank. Seemed like a good guy, walking around smoking a cigar, and, you know, he seemed nice. And then I met, the owner of the building that's right next to us on the south side, the one that's on the back of the parking lot. Yeah, Bob, older guy, and he just uses it for offices, you know, so he's real nice. And I'd gotten home and he was just pulling out, so I said hello, and he was like, yeah, I was just talking to your wife for the last few minutes, and Nicole like popped out and she like waved, and so they were chatting a little bit. But yeah, nice. Seemed like friendly people around. So we also met one of the women that works at the law office as well. She came out back and she was taking a smoke break, and so she came over and she was like, hey, just want to come say hi, you know, like, see you guys are moving in, and chatted for a little bit. So yeah, it's nice. You know, there's something to be said about having like a community, you know.
Yeah.
That you know, that's part of that like American dream, I guess, right? Like the house with the 2.5 kids and the white picket fence and the,
yeah, it's like Mr. Rogers' neighborhood.
Yeah, yeah, it's nice, and you know, obviously it's an adjustment. It'll take some time getting used to, but you know, it's not bad stuff. It's different.
Yeah, it's something to do. It's something different. Why not?
Yeah, no, it'll be nice.
Do it for a while, and maybe you'll be tired of it, and maybe you won't, and then maybe you guys will save up money and get some nice country spot somewhere.
Yeah, never moving again. Yeah, but I'm excited. Like I said, like having the detached garage for the shop and all is super nice. And then also like that combined with the full basement that we have. So all the stuff that was in my shop that wasn't shop stuff specifically, that was just basement storage, and now is not going to be there. So I have a feeling that I'm going to, you know, be able to utilize the space a lot better and really have a good space. And I like the idea of the change. I like the you know, the square format rather than the longer rectangular format. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like I made it work fine, but having that is, I'll be able to get a better cabinet table saw, which is one thing that I've been wanting for a long time. So
yeah,
that, and then I'll be able to, you know, the garage has the main two-car garage door, that, you know, opening door, overhead door. So that'll be nice to be able to open that up and have some nice light in, and also, you know, have like, be able to move things in and out of the shop really easily that way, which was nice. Yeah, it was like pulling stuff out of the basement shop, although it's not all that far down, you know, it was like 4 or 5 steps down into the basement. You know, unloading and moving things into the new shop was very easy, so that's like, that was cool. That was good to know, and good to know for the future.
But yeah, just have, you know, you'll get like a camera and homeowner's insurance, you'll be all right.
Yep. Yeah. Go ahead.
The moving killed my truck, apparently. just broke down on the side of 83 last night. That was fun.
Dagger.
But so apparently, it's just transmission lines.
Oh,
so okay. I just have to replace. It's not the whole transmission.
That's good. That's really good.
So I don't have to do that. But
yeah, that's what I had to do for my truck when I got it. You know, after not too long, the transmission went up, and it was like $2,500. But
yeah,
so but, that's good. I'm glad. So when you you had texted me or gave me a call last night about the address of the new place you took it, and did Caitlin come and get you, or did you ride with the tow truck guy or whatever?
I went with Dad. I told him to turn around.
We were
both working, so.
Oh, gotcha. Dad was there, too.
I was like, hey, come on back, and then we got gotcha. So he was, we're both working, and he picked me up, and of course, my AAA wasn't up to date, so I had to redo a membership and pay extra, blah blah blah. But I don't know.
Yeah,
$200-$300 later, I got it towed up to to near me, and so that's that. But like I said, it's just a line. So
yeah, well, I guess that's good. You know, Steve was able to look at it today for you.
Yeah.
Nice, right on.
Yeah, so it'll be all right. I mean, I am still. We are trying to limp along. We are about to pay off both vehicles basically in August.
Yeah.
So we're trying to get there, and then the plan was to get a little bit nicer truck, a little bit newer, something that we didn't have to worry about, something under 25,000 miles. You know, that's maybe a few years older. A few years old.
Younger, yeah, right. Only a few years old, right.
Right, now. Only a few years old. But we'll see. That's still the plan. It might totally destruct by then, and we won't get any money for it. and we'll see. But
Yeah, I was a little worried about my truck over the weekend, because I was hauling the trailer. So fortunately, we had two trailers. My buddy Andrew lent us his trailer, which is the same one we used to move all the fence posts and boards and stuff. And then my neighbor Dennis let me borrow his trailer, which was really nice. So we had two trailers. And the first day, I just took the first load I took was light, because it had empty shelves and stuff on it, so it wasn't bad. But then the second load was heavier. You know, my truck was loaded up, and then on the last day on Sunday, it was also fully loaded up. But I was surprised, truck rode well and, felt fine. Like, it didn't feel like I was towing a ton of weight. So, I mean, it wasn't that much weight, but, it felt good. And, it was like a two-axle trailer that was probably, maybe 15 feet, 16 feet, something like that.
Yeah.
So no lights on it, which is always fun, so I get to have you travel close behind me. So that way I don't, incur unwanted attention from the powers that be.
Yeah.
but I was pleasantly surprised. I was a little worried, but I was surprised that my truck did as well as it did. And, so it was good. It's always like, there's something definitely, manly feeling about towing something, driving a trailer and hooking it up and using your truck. And
yeah, it's nice to use it and fill up the it up, load it up and just do it. Yeah. It's nice.
Yeah.
And you feel like that's what you're using it for. Yeah. And in the future, I don't know. It's either going to be a Tacoma or a Frontier or probably an F-150. That's like what I'm looking at.
Right.
They're all crazy expensive. I mean,
yeah, right.
Exactly. So it'd have to be at least a few years old. And we'll see what we can get. I don't know, but I'm okay with midsize. I know you don't like a smaller bed, but I'm okay with midsize. Yeah. And I kind of need a four-door truck, or at least a big cab with the opening door for the kids.
Right, yeah.
I really don't have much. I mean, if the kids were all grown up, I could get one of those small little cabs with the little jump seats,
Yeah, right.
But for now, it has to at least fit the car seats.
Yeah, and that's what I always thought, too. If I'm going to have a pickup truck, it's got to be able to seat four people, you know, like, so at least three people, right? Because it's obviously Nicole and Corinne and I, so it was always that, you know, and obviously somewhere to put the dogs if we brought them in as well. So always wanted to have at least the extended cab, you know. I didn't think it was completely necessary to have like a crew cab, but having like the extra door that opens up and have the row of seats behind is yeah. awesome, you know, and then it gives you extra storage, and then you have like some interior storage as well in your, you know, in your truck if you're moving stuff you don't want to have out in the rain or whatever, potentially in the weather. So
yeah, so yeah. So we'll see. Hopefully nice. This gets fixed and it works, and it's, you know, I can hang on for a few more months.
Yeah, right.
And then try to get something. You know, we just get done paying off the other cars, and then you just do a new payment because you're like, hey, we got a new vehicle. Let's get a new vehicle. Payments are right.
I know. Yeah, well, that's like we paid off the Nissan Rogue we had. Mm-hmm. We paid off maybe like last year at some point, you know, mid-year or whatever, July or August or something. So, you know, that was, once we paid that off, then we were like, okay, well, you know, now we can keep our eye out for maybe a better, you know, more reliable truck for me. And if we find something that's, you know, worth it, not too crazy expensive, then we'll start a new payment plan. But then we decided to buy a house instead. So we have a different amount of money that we owe. Although our mortgage isn't that much more expensive than our rent. So that's good. We were able to kind of get the rate down.
You're putting equity into something.
Yeah, exactly.
So in a certain amount of years, 5 or 10 years, if you do want to move on, you have.
Yeah.
You've put your money into something. You can hopefully get it back.
Right, exactly.
You sell it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and Nicole's kind of making a little bit more cash. So a little bit.
I'm really excited too. Truck. Yeah, so we'll be able to, we'll actually all be able to carpool together in the morning. So, you know, when I get up and leave, it'll be Nicole and Corinne and I all driving down. We'll drop Corinne off at school way downtown. And then, you know, Nicole and I are only 2 or 3 minutes apart, driving apart, where, you know, where I work at Baltimore Design School and where she'll be working at MICA. So, you know, we're really close by. So we'll carpool down and we'll figure out however it's going to work out with timings and whatnot, who gets off when and what. But, yeah, it'll be really nice. I'm really excited. And I know Nicole is really excited and relieved, because she's been kind of like a little down for a while with like housing not working out and jobs not working out, and so now these things are all kind of coming to place, which is really nice. So I feel good for her.
Yeah.
but yeah, man, it's been an interesting roller coaster of busyness over the last month, but now we're here and things are not really slowing down because we're unpacking, but at least it's like, you know, it's on the downward slope of craziness. So, and just a new journey over here, though. So it's fun.
Now that you're in, now that you have the pipe fixed, where there's not dark water pouring down into your basement, we're still going to try to convince you to get a O'Hara's Irish Pub going.
Nicole was like, "Why don't we just drink upstairs?" And I was like, that's not the point. Like,
Luckily,
she's like, "Why don't we just hang out outside and drink at the fire pit or in the shop?"
What if it's winter? That's when a pub is at its best.
I don't think you're gonna convince her in that direction. We'll see.
Well, you know, does she want the oven or not? All right, come on,
compromise.
Yeah, you want a stupid oven? I want a stupid pub. Let's agree that's both kind of stupid.
She's like, "You have a full shop outside." I'm like, we'll see. Like,
but does it have a bar and a gaming table? No.
Yeah, well, it has a working table and a mini fridge full of Natty Bow. Well, you make a really cool pub at your she shed.
I know.
And then and then we'll see if it
convinces. My she shed's Nicole. Leaking.
Oh man, yeah.
I gotta fix that first, which is just a pain in the butt.
It's always something. It's never just like straight through. You always have something to do.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, let's wrap it up. Do you have a recommendation?
Yeah, and it is a video I haven't finished. It's Tested just came out with they're redoing their Pip Boys from Fallout. Which is cool. I love when those guys weather stuff and take them apart and do, you know, bits and bobs and adjust them. I love that. So,
yeah. What are they doing? They're
They're the Pip-Boy from Fallout. Is that arm thing? The arm monitor?
Pip-Boy.
Pip-Boy.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
in the game, like if you ever play Fallout, you pause and you're looking at the, like, it's a black and green screen.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that retro futuristic arm thing that they hold. That has like a tube TV on it, you know, with a bunch of dials and stuff.
Yeah.
And you tune into radio and stuff.
Yeah.
So there's a company that they, like a year ago, they did like a, they were looking at the hero props from the show Fallout, which is great. Yep. And then that company made a $200 version that they sent out to people. Which is also cool because all the dials work and like actual FM radio works on it. And
oh, nice.
Like, it's pretty cool. So they both, him and Norm, got theirs and they are weathering them and doing their thing. So it's cool. I love those videos from those guys. And more recently, they're shooting the videos in the old way where they actually have a camera guy. So I enjoy that. And I like, what's his name? Norm. I like him. And obviously Adam. So it's cool to see them do stuff together.
Nice.
Oh, and I recently, inspired by them, they were like making Star Wars props and like, you know, chicken walkers and AT-ATs. I printed out an AT-AT and then like flat pack. Like a model kit style, you know? Oh,
sweet. Yeah,
and right I on. Cut out all the pieces and put it together. It was so much fun.
Nice.
So now I have a little AT-AT and a little snow speeder. Like, I built it all. It
was fun. Nice. So that's fun. Awesome. That's funny. I would never think of that as a way to use the 3D printer.
But it makes sense, doesn't it? Everything. Yeah. I mean, it's literally, you're printing out flat pieces.
Yeah, right.
And obviously, you got to have some curve and stuff to them. Yeah, and there's a few supports to come off of, but it's all there and it's all in one sheet, and you just clip it apart like you would a normal model. And this one wasn't glue; it actually had all like connecting, clicking parts. You know,
nice.
It took some doing. It was a little, you know, trying to figure it out, but it. I'll send you a picture. It looks perfect. It's great. Nice. It's like so cool.
That's
what I actually want. I want to make a bigger one. I want to fill out the whole build plate because I made it was like half the build plate, and it's only like 3 inches tall, but it looks good. Gotcha. But I want to build a big one.
Nice, that's awesome. That reminds me of a company, a guy who has a company called Techo Toys, and he does all sorts of like mech type stuff. And it's all his. He's like always building and changing stuff. I think Adam might have done, you know, something for tested for a while back on him, because I think he made a little Techo toy version of Adam. But that's cool. I like that idea though. Yeah, it's like obviously all those things, all the flat stuff, you know, it's and all connected, just the little like connectors. That's perfect for a 3D printer.
Yeah. Let me send you a picture real quick.
Yeah, right on. So my recommendation is the Red Clay Strays. It's the newer band. I really like I would say they're growing on me. At first I was a little like, you know, a little but the more I hear, the more songs I hear from them, and the more times I hear those songs, right, it starts to grow on me a little bit more. So there's one of their songs specifically called "Wondering Why," which is just an awesome song. So I was looking at it or listening to it today, and when I was looking for a recommendation, I was like, oh yeah, that's a good one. But yeah, just it's funny because Corinne, like we were looking at the video. One of the videos of the Red Clay Strays, and she's like, weird, he looks like an actor. And like the lead singer has this kind of retro style that's kind of like Johnny Cash, you know, like, or like James Dean, you know, kind of that older like style with kind of a like the hair kind of, you know, gelled and brushed over. Mm-hmm. So he's got that kind of 50s like greaser look a little bit to him. But he's got a good voice, and the songs are good. So it's a kind of a new band that I've been listening to for a little bit. So it's a good one. The Red Clay Strays.
There you go.
It's a cool little picture, man.
I sent you an AT-AT with better lighting.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Do you see that?
Nice. Yeah, with the lighting. Cool? With the like that. What's that orange thing in the back left?
Oh, that's just a little light. I think I got enough stocking. It's a D.
That's funny. Oh, that's funny. Oh, yeah. Mom and Dad got it for you. Yeah, I have one, too. That's funny.
Doesn't it look great?
Yeah, that's good lighting on that shot too, with that like red thing. It looks like a like the red sun on the planet. Man, look at that little guy. That's great. That he's only like 3 inches tall.
Yeah, and it's totally adjustable. You can move the legs and move the head left or right. It's great.
Nice, fun little thing. Where'd you get the STL for it? The file.
Makerspace. Is that what it's called? Makerspace. Right? And that bamboos, whatever bamboos thing is.
So it was like
Maker World. That's what's called Maker World.
Oh, okay. Is this free files and stuff? Or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally free.
Right on. Nice. Sweet.
Yeah.
That's cool, man. But I like it. It's funny. I like, when Maeve talks about it, she's like, the robot. She's like, we made these toys on our robot.
Yeah, that's how I explained it to her.
Yeah. Robot makes it for you.
Yeah,
cool, man. Right on. All right, well, let's wrap it up, and hopefully next week I'll have some more stuff in this room, so it doesn't sound as echoey. Although I think like it's not too bad when I'm talking to the mic.
No, I think it's fine. Yeah,
nice. Right on. Cool. All right, guys. Well, thanks everybody for listening and hanging in there with us. We'll have some more content coming up in this video. I haven't shot the ending for the video yet, but I will. I kind of have an idea of, like, you know, doing the ending and then closing the garage shop door, like, and having it end that way or whatever. But, with me inside the garage, like, that's completely full of stuff.
Yeah.
But that'll be coming up on a video soon, so you get a little bit more behind the scenes and time lapses of all the breaking down of the old shop and moving things into the new shop. And that'll be over on YouTube, so check it out. Let us know what you think about it over there. Like and subscribe. And then you can also follow us over on Instagram if you haven't. If you're not following and you're interested in, you could check that out and see. I tried to do some posts as well as some stories with the move over the weekend, because you know, I like stories because I like that it's like an immediate way to kind of keep people, bring them along for the ride. But I don't like the fact that they just disappear. You know, it's just like, it's the short attention span to the nth level, you know. It's like, right, it's just what's happening just now, it's just gone, you know. It's like, it is what it is, but I usually prefer a post or something, so that way it stays so people can look back and see that progress. So I did do a couple posts as well, but you can find that over at The Art of Craftsmanship on Instagram, and then you can see Devin posted some stuff as well, The Art of Camera Guy on Instagram as well, checking out what's happening behind the scenes for the move. And then and if you guys want to support us further, you can head over to patreon.com/theartofcraftsmanship, and you can support us there for I think as little as like $1 a month, so it's not much, but it really helps to help to mitigate some of the costs of things that we try to put out there for free for people, you know. So we put out money for doing the podcast and making the videos and our time and our effort and the gear we use. And so it's really nice to be able to have some of that cost taken up by the people who appreciate it. And you know, a lot of that goes right back, or all of it goes right back into the channel and the podcast. So thank you to all of our patrons and all the people who have been patrons over the year. We really appreciate it. All right, man. That's it. We're good to go.
All right, brother.
All right, Devin. It's always a pleasure. Always a pleasure.
Yes, sir.
Everybody else, thank you all so much for listening, and we will talk to you next time.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, Sponsored Jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.